Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Maura. How are you, my love?
I'm doing great.
This week, we continue our series on medical cannabis. If you missed week one with Dr. Nicholas Bataro, you got to make sure to check that out because he gave us a ton of valuable information that it may even lead you to researching medical cannabis for yourself or one of your loved ones. But this week, we continue with Dr. Anne-Marie Wong, who's, like us, a native of Miami, Florida. She received her Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering from a little school in Boston. You may know it's called MIT. She finished medical school at the University of Miami. Dr. Wong completed her internship and residency at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. Dr. Wong moved to Beijing in 2000 to work at the Beijing United Family Hospital for several years, then back to New York City to work at the Charles B. Wang Community Health Center in Chinatown. After living in Amsterdam for a few years, she moved back to Miami to work at Pediatric Associates for the past 6 years. We're grateful to have her on as we continue to explore the benefits of medical cannabis. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wong. How are you?
Thanks. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so grateful to have you. Yeah, this is great, especially a pediatrician. This is bound to have some interesting conversations today.
Yeah. So there's not so many pediatricians who are recommending medical cannabis. So it's definitely something different. And there's quite a few patients who, due to the scarcity, are seeking this out for their children.
Yeah, that's something that we're super interested in, and we can't wait to get into all of that with you. But we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem that you're currently trying to solve?
So the biggest problem I'd have to say is the stigma that goes along with cannabis. Whether I speak to other, you know, parents in the community or other doctors and just anybody in general, everybody has this idea of what medical marijuana is, which is what they're usually thinking is more recreational. And quite a few people don't really understand what I'm doing and what a lot of other doctors are doing in really trying to approach using cannabis as a medicine. Most of my patients, I do see children from the age of 18 months all the way up to senior citizens age 95 is some of my oldest patients. And the majority of the patients, their goal is really not to get high, but to really treat their symptoms. And so that's really the focus of our care. And we've been seeing a lot of success with it. And it does require a lot of adjustment, both on my part as a physician and in helping to guide patients with this, as well as for the parents who are treating, helping their children with this type of medicine, as well as for adults and seniors who need to be patient and, take the time to adjust the medication, adjusting the strains. So it can be a little bit more of a process than most people are used to.
Right.
Of course, I'm sure there's a lot of, it's kind of like an investigation because there's just so many cannabinoids, so many different research articles coming out that you kind of, you're on this cutting edge and it's kind of, maybe not a pilot group because there's been so many patients at this point, but still a lot of things to explore from what I understand.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, there's a lot more research that is opening up right now. And there's two different research studies right now that I'm involved in. One is with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and one is with the University of Colorado. The one from University of Colorado is for adult patients who have epilepsy and have had those patients who had no experience or use of cannabis in the past. And the study that I'm working on with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia is for autistic children and their use of medical cannabis.
Wow. Okay. We're going to go straight. Can we talk a little bit? Are there any details you can share about that? Because, you know, there's a growing number of autistic children. What is being looked at? I'm assuming like CBD heavy formulations, and I'm assuming also, of course, mechanism of action would be anti-inflammatory effects. How does cannabis relate to something like autism or a related spectrum disorder that we can see in children?
The difficult thing about research, just in general with marijuana, is that everybody is so different in the way that, you know, we either approach their treatment, and the ways the different tolerances that everybody has is very, very different. And it really doesn't just depend on the size. You know, some adult men come in and say, oh, I'm a big guy, you know, I can take a lot. And, you know, it really, really varies. I mean, I have some very old little ladies who can really handle quite a bit of THC. And then I have, some big guys who really are more lightweight. So it's, you can't really tell. And that's the tricky part about this. And also the tricky part about research is that it's hard to really be very controlled in our studies.
Yeah.
So, we can't just say, okay, we're going to give everybody, 2 milligrams and everybody's going to get this, especially with children, because, we really have to take every child and their symptoms and specifically what's going on with them and into account. We can't really just give everybody the same dose, the same, routine. It really varies from patient to patient. So, with these patients, we find the CBD, the cannabidiol, really helps to calm them down. So if they have symptoms such as anxiety or OCD, they just, want to get up and move around all the time, or they're having, behaviors, running around or screaming or touching everything, we can find that the CBD actually really helps to calm them down, and make them less anxious, and also helps with sleeping. So, I'd say the majority of autistic children, I really, focus on this, on the cannabidiol first. And depending on the patient, I do have some very, very severe patients that we also utilize the THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol, along with that. And, the teachers at the schools, at the special schools, the parents have been very involved and, have been, very helpful in giving us feedback and seeing, what works, what doesn't work with each patient. But, that's a tricky thing. We have to, in general, find the right dose for each patient. And we, in general, for this type of medicine, the motto is start low and go slow. We start on the lower end and then have to slowly titrate and increase the dose to find for that patient what works. So it's a little tricky with studies, especially for this, because, every patient is different.
Of course. And now with your typical patient, an interesting thing you mentioned is that beyond just calming them down and calming the anxiety, it helps with sleep, which a lot of people may not know that autism disorders are linked with sleep disorders. They have a lot of issues that may be part of the reason why it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. There's no causation. You can't see what's causing what, but you do see a little bit of a correlation. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen that, where there are sleep issues. They sleep very, very poorly. So this would be an added benefit to give something to them that's not narcotic that could help them sleep.
Yes, absolutely. This is for some patients, they've tried all different kinds of sleep medication, sedatives, and nothing else works. And this is the one treatment that actually is effective for them. And especially for autistic children that have these behaviors that are very difficult and also have major sleep disruption, for the parents, it's especially really, really hard for them to be up all night or kind of be half awake just to make sure that their child is safe and that, everything is remaining calm at home. So You know, not only does it help the children with their sleep and enabling them to be more able to learn the next day and be able to function better, but also for the parents as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a few friends with autistic children, and I mean, that's like, it's exhausting. It seems super exhausting. So I'm sure it's so much more helpful for the kids and the parents, like you said. And you spent 20 years practicing pediatrics before you transitioned your practice. Could you talk to us about what led you to incorporate medical cannabis into your practice?
Well, you know, I was practicing traditional medicine, really. But at the same time, for myself, I was open to alternative medicine. For my own pregnancies, I used acupuncture throughout both pregnancies, which helped me to keep the pregnancies. And, you know, I found that for myself, I was open to alternative medicine. When the voters here decided, you know, in 2016 that medical cannabis would be legalized, I started kind of reaching out. I have a close friend from medical school out in Portland who had been practicing already with medical cannabis for about 8 years. And another colleague in Michigan, and I just decided to spend some time with them to see how they approach their patients. And it was really very interesting for me. And the fact that, you know, the more I looked into it and I saw the benefits for children, especially those kids who have intractable seizures or other conditions that have not been helped with traditional medicine, to find something that really helps them when everything else has failed is really very gratifying. So, yeah, I have a few patients like that as well that, you know, they have been told by the neurologist, you know, there's nothing that we can do to help. And just even the CBD that is hemp-based was helpful for them. So it's been pretty amazing. And the pediatric disabled daycare that child attended was so impressed by this treatment that they have offered to pay for all of the treatments, doctor consultations, the actual medical marijuana itself, and all the registration fees for those patients if they're interested in using this type of treatment, because it was you know, very moving to them to see this patient who had really not responded to any other treatment.
Wow, that's incredible. And I mean, you kind of just touched on some of the conditions. Can you, as far as children are concerned, like, what are some of the other qualifying conditions for medical cannabis in pediatrics? And, you know, as far as, you know, we talked a little bit about autism, epileptic, but maybe for like sensory issues. And research suggests on relationship to brain development, because of course, you know, the people that are, you know, anti and, you know, I get that a lot, like that it interferes with brain development is something that people say.
Right. Well, in terms of those studies that people's, you know, have been, you know, been really put out there as, I call it propaganda, you know, over the, you know, the past, you know, since the late 1930s, has, you know, with the commercials and everything of how bad marijuana is to your brain, and those brain imaging studies that they did show. More recent studies have shown that there was a study out of University of Colorado in 2015 that also looked at brain imaging for people using cannabis, and it did not show loss of brain mass with the use of marijuana. There's now also starting a new study involving 11,000 patients starting around the age of 11, actually before you know, children start getting into any kind of recreational drugs or exposure. And it's going to look at these children over the next 10 years to see what the effects are, and also to try and be, you know, a little less swayed, or to, you know, to take more into account other confounding factors such as alcohol use or abuse, other recreational drugs that may be used. And so, you know, there's newer studies that are going on that are also going to be looking at this. So I wouldn't, you know, tell patients that this is going to be harmful to the developing brain. I mean, it's possible they are doing more studies on that. And it also depends on the degree of use. So for, you know, patients that were using CBD that comes from cannabis, you know, these CBD and THC have actually been found to be neuroprotective. And I have quite a few patients who are on the treatment, and the therapists, many of them have been saying, you know, these patients are doing much better in their therapies, progressing more, communicating more. And so, you know, we'll have to look at these studies coming up, to really see if all of that is, you know, if we can really say that, you know, it's harmful to the brain, or to what extent, you know, of use or abuse, that, you know, we can make these claims. So, you know, that's what I would say to people who are concerned about that. But, you know, when you have a child who is either disabled or having such effects on their social and, you know, their functioning at school, or just in their daily activities, and then you give them something that's actually working for their condition, that it really makes such a big change. You know, it's hard to you know, also, you know, to keep in mind that, oh, this is dangerous for your brain. So, you know, I want us to really pay attention to some newer studies that are coming out, and also, you know, studies that are a little bit more carefully looking at other confounding factors or the degree of use or abuse, just, you know, in terms of now that we're really focusing on using this more medically and more carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we totally agree with that. And we have to also remember that the alternative is, you know, the drugs that are being used as alternatives for most of these conditions are so much worse, with such bad side effects that it really affects the quality of life.
Yeah, and they're not... They're like, yeah, they're just very sedated.
And all of those things that, you know, like you get stomach problems.
No appetite.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, of course, you know. Yeah,
weighing the risks and the benefits. Yeah. Now,
right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. There's something that I was thinking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's a few different factors involved in, like, neurogenesis, for instance. You know, of course, first of all, the fact that it exists, you know, that's fairly, and what leads to neurogenesis, and we know that BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, is something that would cause neurogenesis. Maybe I'm not sure if you've read on this or not. Wouldn't CBD, doesn't CBD stimulate BDNF?
I have, to be honest, I have not read studies about how CBD does stimulate this. So, I can speak to that.
If it's doing that, then that would be a great indicator that if you're causing new neurons, like if you're aiding in the growth of new neurons, then how could you affect brain development? You know, that's just me inferring. And I know as a physician, you have to be more careful with what you say. So we can speculate a little bit more since we're late.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think that if we look at, you know, our patients, the way they're doing clinically, and how, you know, I'll have to look more into that in terms of the actual, you know, the growth of the neurotransmitters and everything that you're speaking of. But clinically, I definitely see it, and in all the reports from the parents and from the therapists. So it's been definitely, I think that when I see results like that, then it definitely makes sense that it's definitely doing some good within the brain itself.
Awesome. So now we'll talk now a little bit, and you spoke a little bit about it in the initial question, but we asked this question because we want to be able to address it before people even shut themselves off to the idea of medical cannabis if they find themselves in one of these qualifying conditions, or the children. So mm-hmm. What to be the biggest roadblocks for your patients when you counsel them on medical cannabis?
So I'd say that one of the biggest roadblocks, like I was mentioning in the beginning, is the stigma of it and people's view of it as something that's taboo. And even, you know, certain doctors that really have like they're a wall up against it without kind of exploring it a little bit. I mean, I try and actually reach out to a lot of doctors to try and meet with them and, you know, see if they have any questions or want to, you know, open a discussion up. And it really, you know, depends. And it's surprising which doctors are open to it and which are not. You know, so I find that, and it's funny because quite a few of the doctors that refer patients to me, those patients told me a couple of years ago, those doctors laughed at them whenever they brought up the idea of medical marijuana and said, you know, oh, that doesn't work. And they were against it. However, now that those same doctors were, you know, able to attend some conferences or learn more about it, they're now, you know, more open to it. They're referring me quite a few patients, especially as they see these amazing results. And, so it requires a little bit of openness, at least to something new. And if they decide they, you know, they want more research and more proof, then, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I think that, people need to kind of at least be open enough to learn or ask questions. And that's the biggest thing that the biggest roadblock that I find is, you know, I have patients come in and, you know, they either heard about, you know, my practice from a friend or from somebody at their school. And, as a pediatric patient in Florida, in order to be on the registry, two doctors must concur and say that this patient, you know, they do agree with the trial of medical cannabis treatment for this patient. So, you know, I definitely reach out to another doctor, you know, their primary or their specialist to say, oh, would you be okay with, signing this? And some of them are against it and, are not willing to, you know, hear me out or to kind of look into it a little bit further. So that's, I'd say the biggest obstacle that, that I find, you know, I think that, you know, we also have to get the word out more. I mean, there's even some people out there who don't, know that it's legal here.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, that's a whole different obstacle that we didn't even know about. So we're glad you brought it up because, you know, that'll especially anyone who's listening in Florida can know that ahead of time that you may want to make sure you go to a physician or at least have the conversation with your physician, whether it's infectious disease or pulmonology or whatever, neurology, before you go to a place like MedVerde where Dr. Wong works. And so that way you can make sure that you have the best chance of really getting a fair shot at a trial.
Right. I mean, I do have some, there's a other pediatric physicians that I know and that I kind of collaborate with who also recommend medical cannabis. So if a patient really has no options, then there's a few other pediatric specialists that I have contact with and collaborate with so that we can get the other another doctor to concur if needed. But you know, I really prefer to have their own doctor on board. I really prefer to be able to communicate and work with them. And especially if the parents are unhappy with the current medications that they're on or the side effects, which is usually the reason why they come to me in the first place, is because the child's medications are being increased or added to and the parents are unhappy with the side effects. So, you know, it would be great if, you know, I can, you know, some doctors are completely open to it. The psychiatric department at Miami Children's is, you know, they welcomed me to talk to them and refer me patients and we talk about everything. And, you know, I can also, you know, tailor what I'm doing to accommodate, you know, what our goals are together. So, I really, you know, like it whenever a patient's doctor is willing to work with me.
Totally agree. You know, and we, you know, it's an interesting thing. And I understand that as a physician, you know, I think I dealt with a lot of physicians. I was a medical device rep for over a decade. And, you know, you want to be able to recommend the best route for your patients. Obviously, you want to have the ability to do that and the trust of your patients. But at the same time, you know, your patient is also your client. And if your client is experiencing, you know, some bad side effects, you want to be able to offer alternatives. And so I think it's nowadays, it definitely the physician of, you know, 2019 is a physician who's going to be open to different treatments because of just the vast amount of options that we have and being able to be open-minded. It just, because at the end of the day, you know, that's a lot of patients will leave the practice if they aren't being taken care of the way they feel, you know, that they need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Can you give a few examples? And it doesn't have to be pediatric now, but we've been talking a lot about kids. And we're super interested in that. But it could be, you know, I know you have adult patients as well. But can you give a few examples of patients or situations in which medical cannabis may be safer or even more effective in patients who are currently following like the more conventional standard of care? Right, like personal, you know, like patients that case studies that you have found to be, you know.
Okay. So yeah, I have a very varied range of patients. And one that comes to the top of my mind is actually something that we mentioned earlier with the sleep issues. I have a couple patients who were on a slew of very strong sleep medications, and nothing worked. One of them was even one of my more elderly patients had to even be admitted to psychiatric crisis because of not sleeping, and was put on every kind of medication you could think of. And so this was one the treatment that actually really helped. And this is one of those older, you know, ladies who really needed very high doses to, you know, get her to sleep. But, you know, she actually uses a very high CBD nightly, and also a pretty moderate dose of THC as well in order to sleep. But, you know, it doesn't affect her in the daytime. We've been able to adjust the dose so that, you know, in the day, she's still able to walk around and to feed herself and to be alert, but at nighttime, get the sleep. And so that you know, that's one condition. Another condition actually that was also with quite a few patients that I've seen is with migraine headaches. And there was one, actually a teenager who had to be, you know, homeschooled because the headaches were so severe. He was on four different medications when I first started seeing him. And with the CBD, even after being on the registry, remained on cannabidiol from hemp for pretty much a year, using that along with very low doses of THC to help to prevent the headaches. He was able to return to school. And
we lost you. Let's see.
Is it still there?
It's still recording. Let's see. Preferences. Yeah, she's there. Okay. Let me just text her. Darn it. Got a lot of good stuff.
Going so well. At least we have all that.
The seizures and the autism. And those are, I would say, are the primary things that I see, that patients haven't, you know, responded to other things. And then this is what they responded to. And then also with the pain, you know, which is the main reason why I'd say the majority of people seek out medical cannabis, just because, you know, they did change the rules for prescribing for doctors and for pharmacies for controlled substances last year. So they made it a lot more stringent. And as a result, you know, quite a few doctors don't want to, you know, have the, you know, be prescribing controlled substances like opiates anymore. And as well, the patients on the patient's end, they don't like the side effects that they see with the opiates. So, you know, this for quite a few patients also has helped them quite a bit. And some of them, they were able to get off all the opioids and, or even, some patients off the NSAIDs as well. So yeah, it's a wide range that we see of what responds to this.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, the NSAIDs have their share of issues, especially like the COX-2 inhibitors, the, you know, heart issues. And then we have, of course, all the addictive issues, the opiate crisis. Yeah. So these are, you know, it's interesting. Luckily, we haven't seen a lot of pushback. We've been sharing about this on our social media. And we were, of course, ready for there to be a debate breakout because, you know, everyone's going to give their opinion. But perspective is so important because, you know, we're not here talking about how everyone should be doing cannabis. We're saying that cannabis is a very effective treatment in all of these qualifying conditions. And so it's
there's so much to learn. To like that's the thing. Like we're
let's learn. Like, let's spend some time learning.
Let's learn about all, like, because when we were talking to Dr. Nicholas Bataro and he was talking about the pulmonary stuff, I mean, that kind of blew my mind because now we're talking about conditions that people wouldn't really think of, you know, epilepsy, you know.
Yeah, there's some more prominent ones. So what about Dr. Because the other thing that Dr. Bataro mentioned that we thought was, you know, important was that, you know, some patients, they, you know, he sends them off with, you know, some directions and what to look for. And even sometimes products that the products. And because he's had some horror stories of patients going to the wrong dispensaries and getting, you know, very overdosed products. So.
Yes. So, yeah, we have to be careful with this. I mean, it is extremely safe. There's no lethal dose. There's very few interactions. However, it definitely is possible for either the patient or the parent to get confused about, you know, the medication. So it really requires quite a lot of education, so that the patient or the parent are comfortable, with a treatment plan. I really try and lay things out for them and, you know, write it all out on a piece of paper, how we're going to start off. And also I actually give my patients my cell phone so that they can call me. And I do like it when they call me and, you know, so that we can talk about, okay, this is what's going on. We're going to increase a little bit. We're just going to go by this amount. And I find that those patients who are very careful and willing to adjust do much better. There are, you know, I have had some mishaps with some dispensaries that, gave the wrong product. And it was something, it's something called a concentrate and it was very strong. It's, you know, it delivers about 25 milligrams of THC in just a tiny little grain of rice. And, you know, then the patient was, you know, had a very bad experience and then was, you know, I'm never going to do this again. This is horrible. You know, I was up all night, you know, having a very bad experience, but, you know, I feel that, you know, the dispensaries are getting a lot better and it also depends which dispensary that you go to. You know, some of them are, you know, have stronger products. And other ones, you know, have quite a bit of good guidance. And, you know, that way you can be a little bit more assured that you know what you're getting. So, you know, for example, you know, Certera does give just different ratios so that the patient knows this is going to be a more high CBD, low THC, less risk of getting those psychoactive high side effects. So, you know, so if, you know, for a lot of patients, it's a little bit easier for them to have just this, you know, range and this just this very easy ratio that they can, you know, pay attention to. And I do find that a lot of patients do like that. So it's a little safer that way than, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go and you get something that's just THC, it can be, you know, a little bit on the more dangerous side.
Right. Yeah,
and you don't want anyone to have a bad experience.
Yeah, because then
right, of course.
Then the patient gets turned off and now the patient's probably missing out on some awesome benefits.
Right, right, absolutely. So, yeah, it's definitely something that we have to be careful of and, you know, why we really have to take our time and show the patients what is the right dose. And the other thing that, you know, some dispensaries have is, you know, they have the dropper that has the lines on it. So the patients know what dose that they're getting and can be consistent with it. So that, you know, that's another benefit of medical is that we know what the dosage is and what we're given, and we can also stay consistent with it by measuring it out carefully.
Right.
That's huge. And it's, this is why, we were speaking off the air before we started recording about how, we really feel like our listeners, they trust us. You know, we are talking about how to live the best life with your family, healthy life with your nutrition, your fitness. And this is why we wanted to have a serious conversation around this subject. And, it's funny because I'm having conversations now with friends left and right, about this subject. And it's interesting to see, like, there are people who are, and this is no fault of theirs, they're just more interested on the recreational side of the marijuana use. They have a condition that can be treated with medical cannabis, but they are also, they want to have fun, and they are always talking about the same type of dispensaries. And so we wanted to point that out, with that last question. If you're a family, if you're looking at this for yourself or for your child, to research into the dispensaries, and you'll learn pretty quickly, who plays, hard and loose, with these dosages and who is educating the patients. Is why we're biased, but obviously Certera, we've just seen just heads and tails above just everyone else when it comes to educating their staff and having their staff be able to guide someone through a wellness experience versus kind of a, where you're walking into a seedy place with, drug paraphernalia everywhere and, posters of stuff. It's just a little bit different. And, it's, I'm sure, different preferences for people, but since this is a family show, we wanted to make sure that people are seeing that difference.
Right. There's definitely a variation between dispensaries, which ones are more medically focused, and then others, which, may cater more to people who are looking at it, even though it's really, they have to be a patient and have a medical condition, but there's dispensaries that cater more for, recreational use as well. So, I definitely be careful about, just choosing the right one and for those patients to, see the difference. But there's definitely, dispensaries out there such as Certera that are more medically focused and will give the patient the time and the, the ease of use with the, the products that they have with the wellness line and everything.
Amazing. Dr. Wong, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time out to come talk to us on our show and have this serious conversation so that we can educate more people about responsible usage and how this can be, a possible option for people that are still struggling with certain conditions. And where can people find out more about you, your practice, and then maybe even any great resources on medical cannabis that you like for research?
So, my website is called medverde.com. So that it kind of also just gives an overview of the process as well for those people who are qualified patients who, want to know, how do I get my card? What is the process? I also, am available for our phone number's on there if anybody just has questions or wants to talk about, any questions they may have about, how their condition relates to this, if it's a qualified condition or not. Because even though it may not be on that list of qualifying conditions, Florida does allow a physician to decide if something is comparable. So if there is like a patient who suffers from, generalized anxiety disorder, the physician may say, oh, yes, it is comparable to PTSD in light of many of the similar symptoms and the severity. So, any questions regarding that, I am available. Other websites that people may find useful. There's for patients, especially, I like the Realm of Caring website. And it is, was started by the parents of Charlotte Figge, who started Charlotte's Web, although it's not really, financially or linked to the Charlotte's Web CBD. But that it is a good website. It has other physicians that they may find, you know, in their area, and also research in different ways to learn. And even they have people that also can answer questions about, you know, the science of medical cannabis. And just in for other just kind of little easier things in terms of resources for strains and other notes of interest for medical cannabis, I also like the leafly.com website, because I do like that patients leave their reviews on the strains, and they also have other information and other doctors who are well known who also provide informational articles on there. So yeah, so there's a lot of information out there, and it is a matter of anything with the internet to try to find the most reliable source.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wong. We really appreciate it.
Sure. No, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate that.